give to our duty. When the bulls whistle free on the light blue sea, we stand to our guns all day. When at anchor we ride on the bulls at tide, we've plenty of time for play.
Ahoy, ahoy,
the bulls whistle free.
Ahoy, ahoy,
on the light blue sea, we stand to our guns all day.
Buttercup, and well called, for you're the reddest, the roundest, and the rosiest beauty in all Spithead.
Aye, aye, aye.
Red am I, and round and rosy, maybe, for I have dissembled well. But hark ye, my merry friends, hast ever thought that beneath a gay and frivolous exterior there may lurk a canker worm, which is slowly but surely eating its way into one's very heart?
Oh. No, my lass, I can't say I've ever thought that.
I have thought it! Oh. Upton!
Yes, you look like it. What's the matter with the man? Is he not well?
Oh, take no heed of him. That's only poor Dick Deadeye.
I say, it's a beast of a name, isn't it? A Dick Deadeye.
It's not a nice name.
And I'm ugly too, ain't I?
You are certainly plain.
And I'm three-cornered as well, am I not?
You are rather triangular.
That's it. For I'm ugly and they all hate me for it. For you do all hate me, don't you?
We do!
There.
Well, Dick, you can't expect a chap with a name such as Dick Deadeye to be a popular character now, can you?
No.
It's asking too much.
It is. From a face and form such as mine, the noblest sentiments sound like the black utterances of a depraved imagination. It's human nature. I am resigned.
smartest lad in all the fleet, Ralph Rackstraw.
Ralph, that name! Remorse, remorse. When we have pain and sorrow too before us, I love and love a lass above my station.
He loves a lass above his station.
Yes, yes, the lass is much above his station.
A bud of blushing beauty, for who proud nobles sigh and with each other vie to do a menial's duty.
To do a menial's duty.
A suitor lowly born with virtuous passion torn and poor beyond denying, as dead for her to pine, at whose exalted shrine a world of wealth is sighing.
A world of wealth is sighing.
Unlearned he in aught, save that which love had taught, for love had been his tutor. Oh, pity, pity me, our captain's daughter she. Poor lad, our worthy captain's child won't have nothing to say to the likes of you, will she, lads?
No. Captain's daughters don't marry foremast hands.
Shame, shame!
Dick Deadeye, them sentiments of yours are a disgrace to our common nature.
But 'tis a strange anomaly that the daughter of the man who hails from the quarterdeck cannot love another who lays out on the foyard arm. For a man is but a man, whether he hoists his flag on the main truck or his slacks on the main deck.
It is a queer world.
Dick Deadeye, I don't wish to press hardly on you, but such a revolutionary sentiment's enough to make an honest sailor shudder.
Me lads, our gallant captain has come on deck. Let us greet him as so brave an officer and so gallant a seaman deserves.
Gallant crew, good morning.
Sir, good morning.
I hope you're quite well.
Quite well.
myself, and happy to meet you all once more.
You do us proud, sir!
I'm the captain of the Pinafore.
And a right good captain too.
You're very, very good, and be it understood, I command a right good crew.
We're very, very good, and be it understood, you command a right good crew.
Though related to a peer, I can hand, reef, and steer, or ship herself a G. I'm never known to quail at the fury of a gale, and I'm never, never sick at sea.
What, never?
No, never.
What, never?
Well, hardly ever.
He's hardly ever sick at sea. Then give 3 cheers and 1 cheer more for the hardy captain of the Pinafore. Then give 3 cheers and 1 cheer more for the captain of the Pinafore.
I do my best to satisfy you all.
And with you we're quite content.
You're exceedingly polite, and I think it only right to return a compliment.
We're exceedingly polite, and he thinks it only right to return a compliment.
Bad language or abuse, I never, never use, whatever the emergency. Oh, bother it, I may occasionally say, but I never use a big, big D.
What, never?
No, never.
What, never?
Well, hardly ever.
Hardly ever swears a big, big D. Then give 3 cheers and 1 cheer more for the well-bred captain of the Pinafore. Then give 3 cheers and 1 cheer more for the captain of the Pinafore.
Of yonder tear that trembles on your eyelash proclaims a sorrow far more deep than common. Confide in me, fear not, I am a mother.
Yes, little buttercup, I'm sad and sorry. My daughter Josephine, the fairest flower that ever blossomed on ancestral timber, is sought in marriage by Sir Joseph Porter, our Admiralty's first lord. But for some reason, she does not seem to tackle kindly to it.
Attractive daughter, I go, farewell.
A plump and pleasing person.
Sad are the sighs that form the spell uttered by eyes.
child, I grieve to see that you are a prey to melancholy.
Oh.
You should look your best today, for Sir Joseph Porter, KCB, will be here this afternoon to claim your promised hand.
Ah, oh, Father, your words cut me to the quick. I can esteem, reverence, venerate Sir Joseph, for he is a great and good man. But oh, I cannot love him. My heart is already given.
It is then as I feared. Given? And to whom? Not some gilded lordling.
No, Father. The object of my love is no lordling. Oh, pity me, for he is but a humble sailor on board your own ship.
Impossible!
Yes, it is true. Too true.
A common sailor? Oh,
I blush for the weakness that allows me to cherish such a passion. Oh, I hate myself when I think of the depth to which I have stooped in permitting myself to think tenderly of one so ignobly born. But I love him. I love him. I love him.
Come, my child, let us talk this over. In a matter of the heart, I would not coerce my daughter. I place but little value on rank or wealth, but the line must be drawn somewhere. A man in that station may be brave and worthy, but at every step he would commit solecisms that society would never pardon.
Oh, I have thought of this night and day, but fear not, Father. I have a heart, and therefore I love, but I am your daughter. And therefore I am proud. Though I carry my love with me to the tomb, he shall never, never know it.
You are my daughter after all. But see, Sir Joseph's barge approaches, manned by 12 trusty oarsmen, and accompanied by the admiring crowds of sisters, cousins, and aunts who attend him wherever he goes. Retire, my daughter, to your cabin. Take this his photograph with you, that it may help to bring you to a more reasonable frame of mind.
My own thoughtful father. Oh!
Joseph's barge is seen, and his crown of blushing beauty. We hope he'll find us clean, and attentive to our duty. We sail the ocean blue, and the saucy ships are beauty. We're sober, sober men and true, and attentive to our duty. Sober, sober men and true.
Smart as we are,
ladies, smart.
And the monarch of the sea, the ruler of the Queen's Navy, whose praise Great Britain loudly chants.
And we are his sisters and his cousins and his aunts.
And we are his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. His sisters and his cousins and his aunts.
When at anchor here I ride, my bosom swells with pride, and I snap my fingers at the foeman's taunts.
And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts.
And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. His sisters and his cousins and his aunts.
But when the breezes blow, I generally go below and seek the seclusion that the cabin grants.
And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts.
And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts.
And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. His sisters and his cousins, and we reckon so my cousins and his aunts.
I served a term as office boy to an attorney's firm. I cleaned the windows and he swept the floor, and I polished up the handle of the big front door.
He polished up the handle of the big front door.
I polished up the handle so carefully that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
He polished up the handle so carefully that now he is the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
As office boy, I made such a mark that they soon became a junior clerk. I served the wrist with a smile so bland, and I copied all the letters in a big round hand.
He copied all the letters in a big round hand.
I copied all the letters in a hand so free that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
He copied all the letters in a hand so free that now he is the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
In serving writs I made such a name that an article clerk I soon became. I wore clean collars and a brand new suit for the pass examination at the Institute.
For the pass examination at the Institute.
But that pass examination did so well for me that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
That pass examination did so well for me that now he is the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
Of legal knowledge I acquired such a grip that they took me into the partnership. But the junior partnership I win was the only ship that I ever had seen.
Was the only ship that I ever had seen.
But that kind of ship so suited me that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
But that kind of ship so suited me that now he is the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
I grew so rich that I was sent by a pocket borough into Parliament. I always voted at my party's call. I never thought of thinking for myself at all.
He never thought of thinking for himself at all.
I thought so little, they rewarded me by making me the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
He thought so little, they rewarded me by making him the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
Now, landsmen all, whoever you may be, if you want to rise to the top of the tree, if your soul isn't fettered to an office tool, be careful to be guided by this golden rule.
Be careful to be guided by this golden rule.
Stick close to your desks and never go to sea, and you all may be rulers of the Queen's Navy.
Stick close to your desks and never go to sea, and you all may be rulers of the Queen's Navy.
Fine crew, Captain Corcoran.
It is a fine crew, Sir Joseph.
A British sailor is a splendid fellow, Captain Corcoran.
A splendid fellow indeed, Sir Joseph.
I hope you treat your men kindly, Captain Corcoran.
Indeed, I hope so, Sir Joseph.
Never forget that they are the bulwarks of England's greatness, Captain Corcoran.
So I have always considered them, Sir Joseph.
Yeah. No, bullying, eh? No strong language of any kind, eh?
Oh, never, Sir Joseph.
What, never?
Well, ha!
hardly ever, Sir Joseph. They are an excellent crew and do their work thoroughly without it.
Don't patronise them, sir. Pray don't patronise them.
Certainly not, Sir Joseph.
That you are their captain is an accident of birth. I cannot permit these noble fellows to be patronised because an accident of birth has placed you above them and them below you.
I am the last person to insult a British sailor, Sir Joseph.
You're the last person who did, Captain Gordon. Desire that splendid seaman to step forward. No, the other splendid seaman.
Rafe Rackstraw, 3 paces to the front, march!
If what?
I beg your pardon, I don't think I understand you.
If you please.
Oh, yes, of course. If you please.
You're a remarkably fine fellow.
Yes, Your Honour.
And a first-rate seaman, I'll be bound.
Oh, there's not a smarter topman in the Navy. Though I say so, who shouldn't?
Oh, not at all, not at all. Proper self-respect, nothing more. Can you dance a hornpipe?
Oh, no, Your Honour.
Oh, that's a pity. All sailors should dance a hornpipe. I'll teach you one this evening after dinner. Now, tell me, don't be afraid. How does your captain treat you, eh?
A better captain don't walk the deck, Your Honour!
Oh, very good, very good. I like to hear you speak well of your commanding officer. I dare say you don't deserve it, but still, it does you credit. Can you sing?
Oh, no. I can hum a bit, Your Honour.
Then, hum this at your leisure. It is a song I have composed for the use of the Royal Navy. It is designed to encourage independence of thought and action in the lower branches of the service and teach the principle that a British sailor is any man's equal, excepting mine. And now, Captain, a word or two in your cabin on a tender and sentimental matter.
Aye, aye, Sir Joseph. Bosun! In commemoration of this joyous occasion, see that extra grog is served out to the ship's company at 7 bells.
Beg pardon, if what, Your Honour?
If what? I don't think I understand.
If you please, Your Honour.
What?
The gentleman is quite right, if you please.
If you please?
For I hold that on the sea, the expression, if you please, a particularly gentlemanly tone implants.
And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts.
And so do his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. His sisters and his cousins and his brackets and my cousins and his aunts.
Sir Joseph's a true gentleman, courteous and considerate to the very humblest.
True, Bosun, but we are not the very humblest. Sir Joseph has made our true position clear to us. A British seaman is any man's equal, excepting his. And if Sir Joseph says it, is it not our duty to believe him?
Well spoke, well spoke.
You're on the wrong tack. And so is he. He means well, but he does not know. When people's got to obey other people's orders, equality's out of the question!
Horrible! Horrible!
Dick Deadeye, if you go for to infuriate this here ship's company any further, I won't answer for being able to hold them in. I'm shocked, that's what I am, shocked.
Messmates, my mind's made up. I will go to our captain's daughter and tell her, like an honest man, of the honest love I have for her. Is not my love as good as another's?
Aye.
Is not my heart as true as another's?
Aye.
Have I not eyes and ears and hands and limbs like another?
Aye.
Oh, it's true, I lack birth.
You've a birth on this very ship.
Well said, I'd quite forgotten that. Messmates, what do you say? Do you approve of my determination?
We do!
I do not.
What's to be done with this hopeless creature? I know. Let us sing him the song that Sir Joseph has kindly composed for us. I'm able to put this miserable chap in a proper frame of mind.
I hate your singing.
What's up?
A British tar is a soaring soul, as free as
as a mountain bird. His energetic fist should be ready to resist a dictatorial word.
His nose should, stand,
and his lips should curl,
his cheeks should flame,
and his brow should
foam, and his bosom
and his heart should glow, and his fist be ever ready for a knockdown.
His nose should pant, and his lips should curl, his cheeks should flame, and his brow should foam, his bosom should heave, and his heart should glow, and his fist be ever ready for a knockdown blow. With an inborn fire, his brow with scorn be wrung. He never should bow down to a domineering frown or the tang of a tyrant's tongue.
His tongue should stand,
and his throat should growl,
his hair should twirl,
and his face should
scowl,
and his breast protrude, and this should be his customary attitude.
His foot should stamp, and his throat should growl, his hair should twirl, and his face should scowl, his eyes should flash, and his breast protrude, and this should be his customary attitude. His attitude, his attitude.
It is useless. Sir Joseph's attentions nauseate me. I know that he truly is a great and good man, for he told me so himself. But to me he seems tedious, fretful, and dictatorial. Yet his mind must be one of no common order, or he would not dare to try to teach my dear father to dance a hornpipe on the cabin table. Rafe Rackstraw!
Aye, lady. None other than poor Rafe.
How my heart beats. And why poor Rafe?
I am poor in the essence of happiness, rich only in unending despair. In me there meet a combination of antithetical elements which are at eternal war with one another. Driven hither by objective influences, thither by subjective emotions, wafted one way into blazing day by mocking hope, plunged the next into Cimmerian darkness by tangible despair. I am but a living ganglion of irreconcilable antagonisms. I hope I make myself clear.
Perfectly. His simple eloquence goes to my heart. Oh, if I dared. But no, the thought is madness. Dismiss these foolish fancies. They torture you but needlessly. Come, make one effort.
I will. One. Josephine!
Sir!
Aye, even though Jove's armoury were launched at the head of the audacious mortal, whose lips, unhallowed by relationship, dared to breathe that precious word, yet would I breathe it once and perchance be still evermore. Josephine, in one brief breath, I wish to concentrate the hopes, the doubts, the anxious fears of 6 weary months. Josephine, I am a British sailor, and I love you.
Sir, this audacity! Unwarrantable presumption on the part of a common sailor. Common? Oh, the irony of the word. Oh, sir, you forget the disparity in our ranks.
I forget nothing, haughty lady. I love you desperately. My heart is in your hand. I lay it at your feet. Give me hope, and what I lack in education and polite accomplishments, that I will endeavour to acquire. Drive me to despair, and in death alone I shall look for consolation. I am proud and cannot stoop to implore. I have spoken and await your word.
You shall not wait long. Your proffered love I haughtily reject. Go, sir, and learn to cast your eyes upon some village maiden in your own place. poor rank. They should be lowered before your captain's daughter. Refrain, audacious tongue, as you're professing. Remember what you are and whom addressing. Refrain, audacious tongue, as you're professing. Remember what you are and whom addressing. Refrain, audacious tongue.
No! harlots you are, but slaves a lady she. You lowly toilers of the waves, she spurns you all, I told you so.
Shall we submit? Are we but slaves? Shall we submit?
We must submit.
Are we slaves? Your hands are mine to hide.
Really, she
will turn your sailor's rule.
She spurred you on.
I shall be still to win.
She spurred you on. I told you so.
My friends, my leave of life I'm taking. For all. My heart is breaking. When I am gone, oh, prithee tell the maid that as I died, I loved her well.
To make his Josephine less caught in many various ways.
Oh, joy, a rapture unforeseen, for now the sky is closing.
For this
world, a daily orb of light has hung his ensign high above the sky. And muffled o'er,
without a light,
as still as death,
we'll steal ashore.
A clergyman
shall make us one
at 10:30,
and then we can
return for none
and hunt them then.
This very night,
with bated breath
and muffled o'er,
without a light,
as still as death,
we'll steal ashore.
A clergyman
shall make us one
at 10:30,
and then we can
return for none
and hunt them then.
This very night, with bated breath and muffled o'er, without a light, as still as death, we'll steal ashore. A clergyman shall make us one at 10:30, and then we can return for none and hunt them then.
Clergyman shall make us one
at
10:30.
This very night, with bated breath and muffled o'er, without a light, as still as death, we'll steal ashore. A clergyman shall make us one at 10:30, and then we can return for none.
None!
Thank you.
forbear, nor carry out this scheme you've planned. She is a lady, you are Thomas' hand. Remember, she is your gallant captain's daughter, and you're the meanest slave that crawls the water.
Back, Vermin, back, you woke us. Back, Vermin, back, you shot us. Oh,